Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, as I become older and older, my children are following me and they're getting older and older. They're in their 20s. I got one who's 30. I'm a grandpa now. But you know, the interesting thing is this whole next generation perspective. We need to have conversations with young people, us older people, to be able to understand what the young next generation is thinking and how they're thinking. Things are changing. So my connection to that next generation is a young gal, Kelly Lavelle. She is a millennial consultant and future of work policy advisor, CEO of Lavelle Corporation. She is a community engagement expert and social entrepreneur. I don't even know what the hell most of that is. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me.
So, Alan, we know each other now about four or five years, right?
Yeah, I would say about 4 years now.
I swear. And so you have become like, a full-grown person because, I don't know, what were you, a teenager when I met you? No, I think you were like 21. You're 25 now, which makes you old in today's business world, evidently. So, but you know, you've kept your finger on the pulse of the next generation perspective. And every now and then I like to kind of reach out and say, Kelly, what's going on in that world? So much of it goes over my head. I mean, you young people are flying so high. I look up and I see you doing these things and I go like, what is that? What does that mean? I need to learn that. And I know I need to learn that. I know I need to be more hip. I don't know if that's the right word, but I need to be with the game. And so maybe you can help us to understand the next generation perspective. I mean, those are your words. And I thought, yeah, that fits. What is that perspective?
Well, it was interesting that you bring that up too, because even with the whole kind of concept of youth, as the world evolves, our definition of youth continues to expand. A lot of right now, 30s is the new 20 at this point, because all of our milestones and life experiences are growing. Now that we're living longer, we're getting married later, we're having kids later, we're buying our houses later. So that definition of youth continues to expand as we live longer and become more productive and are able to build our careers faster.
Right.
So it's an interesting paradigm, because when you're looking at the future of work, we're on the emergence of 5G, which will make everything 100 times faster than it is already. So think of your current workload and then multiply that by 100, because we're going to be more productive in things, which means we're going to actually have more work and pressure and responsibility, not less. So the next generation, when we're entering the workforce, we're hitting a paradigm where there's two challenges. One is we don't know what future job we're going to be in. So we don't know what skills we need, because some of them aren't invented yet. And so when we're going and picking our education, we're studying things that we know our skills will be expired by the time we graduate school, or won't even be relevant sometimes, just because the system's not catched up to where the workforce we're entering into.
Right.
We're seeing the emergence. We talk a lot about mental health, and with the emergence of technology and things and the pressure to succeed in life, but not be with the uncertainty of what that actually is and how to do it, is causing a big issue for a lot of young professionals. It's a very competitive job market, and it's very hard to even get that long-term career directory, and then being able to be in that always-on generation where you don't actually take the mental breaks that you need. We're seeing burnout a lot earlier, and for entrepreneurs, that is a new emergence that I'm seeing a lot, is we see these young entrepreneurs, I would include myself in that, where we go, 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 hustle. We think it's a glamorous life of being able to hustle and keep going. and we exhaust ourselves. So by the time we're 25, we are completely out of steam and a bank account.
Right. Hold on now. Hold on. This is crazy. The kind of world at 5G, the always on generation, this next generation perspective is so important. Look, I'm closing in on 60. I remember thinking that a 60-year-old was next thing is the grave. I mean, I should be picking out a coffin right now, but I'm not. I just got a new Viper, you know, and a Dodge Demon. I'm just now coming into my time when I can start playing. So it's interesting. My dad's 90. He's 90 years old. He said to me the other day, "You're just a young kid. You don't know what you're talking about." All right, we're going to take a break. Kelly Lavelle, this is too good. Lovell, I got it wrong. I knew I'd get it wrong. All right, don't get it wrong when you spell it.
You got it right the first time.
Oh, I did. Okay. See, I keep confusing myself. LOVELLCORP.com. Oh, my gosh. Let's take a break. Always on generation. I think I'm part of that. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Welcome aboard. We're talking about this next generation perspective, the always on generation, the generation of the world at 5G, which is coming right at us. I don't even know what that could be like. It's Kelly Lavelle says it's 100 times faster than what it is right now, 5G. So I happen to be part of the always on generation. I take my phone into the shower with me. I don't get too far away from it. If I do, I get anxiety, heart palpitation. I think I'm having a heart attack because my phone is not in my hand, in my pocket, on my body. That's kind of a crazy thing, Kelly. I don't know. I can't imagine being young and being grown into this. You guys must live every moment of your life with angst.
Well, and that's the thing. We're also entering a place where the technology may be in your body soon, Alan.
Oh, no!
But, yeah, it's really so one of the trends, and you probably notice it sometimes. A lot of things are coming up now as a big social media cleanse. Can you take a week off social media or deplug from technology?
Hell no!
And what I find really interesting about it all is, for every trend, there's a counter trend. So the more digitalized our world becomes, people always think once the office is digitalized, we can all work at home. We don't have to go to an office. What happens is the office become more like home. The more digital we become, the more we appreciate nature. We want to do entertainment. We want the work-life balance and emphasize more the life. So I would caution everyone that don't think all of a sudden we're just going to live in just a complete digital world. What I would actually recommend listeners, particularly if they have businesses, is consider how you're supporting those other elements of your employees or that work-life experience. Are you ensuring they're taking care of mental health, or are you going to let them burn themselves out? Are you integrating activities that are incorporating things offline? It actually boosts your productivity. It's something I've learned as an entrepreneur. I've gone total tech to now appreciating those times when I'm not on my phone and actually can leave it behind, which is something that I wouldn't have been able to imagine a couple months ago.
Social media cleanse. Is it kind of like a colonics for the social media? Is that what you're talking about?
It really is. I'm just finishing mine, and I can tell you it does work.
Oh, my God. You know, and here's what's funny. I am texting while you're talking. I am part of that, you know, never disconnected world. I am running a business while I'm doing interviews. I'm running a business while I'm eating dinner, breakfast, lunch, social gatherings, in the hospital with somebody. I am a never disconnected guy. I need a social media and all media cleanse, but I have then angst. And I found out what angst is. You got to check this out. Do you know what angst is?
You tell me.
I know, because it's again, one of those words we all use. And somebody defined it the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's right. He said, angst. You ready for this? Everybody get ready. Calm down. It's crazy. angst is the fear of future pain, right? Angst, the fear of future pain. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. It may not even happen, but you're feeling the pain and it hasn't even happened. And the problem is angst keeps us from moving forward because we're living in fear. Then we live in that fight or flight mode, which is bad energy. Then you get BO and you start to smell and people are like, "Oh, what, that guy's, he's nervous. He's got that stink." You know, it's like angst, the fear of something that hasn't even happened yet, future pain or something that hasn't happened. And I thought, oh my God. But once you understand what something is, you have a higher consciousness of what something is, you can start to deal with it. You could say, hey, 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 calm down, self. Calm down. This hasn't happened, but you have a chance to change the future by dealing with it right now, before the pain happens, before the problem happens. So get up and deal with it immediately. Oh, man, this is a good conversation. Where did that just come from?
Like this, I feel like all young people right now are angst.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Speak for our generation.
All right, hold tight. Hold tight. Let me take a break before I get run over. You podcast people don't have to hear this next commercial, but we do. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
This young gal, she always gets me going. Kelly Lavelle, millennial consultant, future of work policy advisor, CEO of Lavelle Corporation, LavelleCorp.com, or Kelly A. Lavelle online.com. Kelly A. Lavelle.com. Two L's. Kelly, do me a favor. Give the world a 30-second elevator pitch on who you are, because I know you. I am constantly impressed by you. I totally love you. You are awesome. Who the heck is Kelly Lavelle?
I focus on bridging the gap between the next generation and businesses to prepare for the future of jobs. So really helping young emerging talent under the age of 35 prepare for the unknown and develop those skills that they need to thrive in the workplace, and helping businesses transition and adapt to things such as disruptive tech and digitalization, and meet the needs of this new generation that is not always motivated just by the dollars on the bottom line. And how can you incorporate some of those social and life experiences that they seek?
So was, and by the way, I love that. And you've got all kinds of awards from even the Queen of England. And I mean, we don't have time to talk about all your accolades, but they're amazing. Just understanding what angst is, doesn't that give you a little leg up on now knowing it when it knocks on your door and going, no, 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 I feel angst coming. Guess what? I'm going to deal with this right now. What do you think?
Yes, because essentially burnout is an accumulation of angst, I think. If we look at it, I always like to view it as like the brain thing, that like a slinky. If you stretch your slinky and you just continue to stretch and never let it recoil, by the time you let go of it, it just stays stretched. You need to give your brain a chance to recoil, to regenerate your energy, to even if you're a hustler and you're an entrepreneur, to stay at your 100% game, you need to take a break. And it's counterintuitive, but the more you take time for yourself and step away from work, the more productive you actually can be in it.
You know, let me stop you there, because this, like you said, is so counterintuitive to the old school way of doing things. It was work, work, work. I'll outwork you. I can work harder than you. I'll never stop. I'll eat people. If they get in my way, I'll kill them. I'm going to work until I die. And then you do die. And then somebody goes, wow, he worked too much. Right? And then all of a sudden, young people are coming along going, dude, slow down. You're not effective. You're working like a whirling dervish. Slow down, do a better job, be more precise, be more thoughtful, put more love into what you do. I think that's what we have to call, what I wrote it down, this next generation perspective, because my generation, the baby boomers, We were workaholics. We wanted to find our own way in life. We were sick and tired of being under our dad's thumb and our parents' thumb. It's like, I'm going to break out and do my own thing, and I'm going to have to work my ass off to make this happen. And I'm describing myself, so I know this. But now at this stage of my life, I'm like, all right, I get it. If you work all the time, all work and no play makes Tom a dull boy. I heard that one before, right? So now I'm learning how to just slow down, or choosing the work that I love to do. Then I never work a day in my life. And people are like, how do you work so hard, Alan? I'm like, well, I don't really call this work. I love people. I love learning. I love achieving. I love getting ahead. That's called being an entrepreneur, but I got to do it with wisdom. That's why I'm calling you. So we can talk like this and bring wisdom. Go for it.
Yes. Well, interesting enough, so that's where the friction happens, though, is because then you have, in the workplace, you have senior talent that has worked their way up and put in those 60-hour work weeks. And then you have the next generation who doesn't want to put in the 40. And so you get this friction of those who feel like they've earned the working up the ladder versus then this misconception that the younger generations feel entitled that they don't have to work hard. And it's not that they don't want to work hard. It is this mentality of more they respect the value and the importance of caring for life in their mental health in addition to working.
Yeah. I would die for a 60-hour work week. No, you know why? Because here's the deal. Right now I'm dealing with my parents kind of in the sunset of their life. So I start out in the morning, you know, watching them on the, you know, the kind of the parent cam in their kitchen. Are they up? Are they okay? Are they, you know, then I, you know, somebody's got to go make them breakfast. And my both my parents, 87 and 90, my dad is still trying to work. I'm like, Dad, calm down. Go fishing. I don't want to fish. I want to work. You know, so it's like, this is, you know, kind of been downloaded into me. So we need to hear this stuff. And I know a lot of you boomers out there are listening to this. I'm talking to a 25-year-old girl. She's amazing. And she's telling me, Alan, you got to have a quality of life, a work-life balance. You got to know how to have a social media cleanse every now and then. Oh, yeah, yeah. So let me ask you real quickly. There's a something coming up, the International Day of the Girl, October 11th. You're doing something on the 10th. What is it?
We're hosting the first Bridging the Gap Forum, so taking that next-gen perspective, we look at inclusive innovation across youth, gender, and underrepresented groups. So for International Day of the Girl, we're bringing emerging female founders and women entrepreneurs under the age of 35 together to talk about what is needed for them to build their careers and thrive amidst all of these rapidly changing marketplaces that we're talking about now.
All right. Can they find out more at lovellcorp.com?
Yes, they can.
All right, people, write this down. L-O-V-E, love. I love this girl. Two L's and then corp.com. Lovellcorp.com. Kelly Lovell. KellyALovell.com also. I love your head and your brain inside of it. You're a good person. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. I hope to see you soon. We'll call you again. I love it every time we have a conversation. All right, you guys, we got more. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about software and IT and the friction between those people and me being the boss of my company, and probably you too if you're an entrepreneur or even in any kind of business. The IT department is on another planet for most of us. Our guest today is Chad Atkinson. He's the CEO of Solution Stream, and they're in Salt Lake City area in what's called Silicon Slopes. I happen to be visiting right now, a couple of friends out here. Chad, I don't know if you saw me before we got started. I was texting back and forth. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay, I'm dealing with this problem while we're talking. Literally, there is so much friction between my company, the people that are, you know, boots on the ground and getting things done, and the IT department and the software that we need and those people. And
it's like I just feel like it is such a disruptive part of my business. Is that something that happens in other people's business, or is it just me and it's happening right now in real time?
You know, I think it's been a problem for a lot of companies. It's a problem for clients we have. And really, the reason that we decided to go into this industry was to help businesses really capture their investment in technology and continue to drive their business forward. Software development is difficult, but if it's done right, it really can help your business excel. It can actually help you capture markets and have the kind of growth that technology really can do.
You know, it's so sad. I had a website built about 5 years ago. I spent about $100,000 on it, which a lot of my friends tell me that was insane. It's already completely obsolete. It's been difficult to work with from day one. It really has never done what we really wanted it to do. And we spent so much time with these designers of the website. And it's just, I don't know what to do. And I think a lot of people feel helpless in this way. Maybe you can shine a light on, you know, on this subject for a few minutes with us, because I still feel helpless, because we're on to our next iteration of our website, which would now be probably my fourth iteration, you know, and so websites and developing software and having it work to where the IT people can work with it very easily. I mean, these are problems that companies have to deal with as we move into this new 21st century.
You know, I think the first thing is realizing that software is never done. Right. I'd love to tell you it's like concrete. You pour it, you set it, and forget it. But it's much more like a living organism, right? It's a plant. You have to nurture it, and you have to care for it. I think when you start in on a software project, if you really have kind of the end in mind, and you realize, okay, I'm going to phase the approach so that I get what I need that's most important now, and I continue to figure out those things that I might need in the future by getting some customer feedback. It's really easy to spend a lot of time and a lot of money on a piece of software that you think your customers are going to love. But what we're starting to find in kind of this new approach with software is, let's get that minimal viable product out there. Let's get some feedback from our customers so that they tell us what's important. And then let's spend our time and money there as we continue to make incremental improvements and take advantage of the new technologies that are out there.
How do you safeguard yourself against guys like me that just don't know whether up is up and down is down and left is right and right is left, and if you know what I'm saying? I mean, we are going to trust you, and you have to kind of put safeguards in place to make sure that our relationship is a long one. How do you keep my trust?
You know, I think because we are a consulting company, right, our guys are very much geared to providing value for any time that we spend on your product. So I think it's about starting with a very small budget, delivering a piece of functionality, and continuing to earn your trust every hour we work on your behalf. And that the idea being, even if you have a very large project, and maybe it's a very large budget, we're going to treat it in very small steps so that every 2 weeks you actually see what we've built for you, and you get to decide if it met the mark, what needs to be adjusted or fine-tuned, and then we build the next piece. Rather than going away and 6 months later delivering you a piece of software that missed the mark, we make sure that our customers are very intimately involved in the process on a two-week basis, and we build your trust over time by delivering every 2 weeks.
We're going to take a little break. Entrepreneur Weekly today, looking to help solve some of the friction between the IT department and the boss. That's me right now. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our guest today is Chad Atkinson. He's the CEO of SolutionStream. I don't know that the average person knows the difference between software and tapping away at their keyboard of really what they're doing and what software does for them. Could you give us just that, I don't know, third grade lesson on what is software and how do we work with it?
You know, I think one of the most important things when we talk with our clients about how to really move the needle for their business and how software plays a part of that, it's much more about the communication and understanding between our customers and our staff as to what you want to accomplish. The easy part about software is actually the fingers on the keys, the actual construction of software and the applications that we use. It's the understanding of what we want to build. You know, for the last, 20 some odd years, we've been refining a process for us, which we call a solution map. And it really is borrowing some of the ideas from Google Design Sprints. So we've taken that methodology and we've added technical resources to attend what we call the solution map, which is a week-long workshop where we're actually in there and we're determining what is it going to look like? How's it going to behave? What are the features? What's the functionality? And we found that for most people, they're much more visual. So if you can actually sketch out the way the application is going to go screen by screen.
Human-machine interface.
Exactly. You know, how's it going to look? What are the colors? What are the concepts? Because as people, we're much more visual than we are, you know, bullet points on paper. And through that process, you really understand what's most important. And those are the things that you build first. And so when you get everybody in the room, you find out, this is most important. This is what we want to focus on. And technical people are much better at delivering against things they can actually see rather than some of the misunderstandings we have when we just have words on a sheet of paper.
You know, I like to ask you the dumb questions because I feel like so many times I am working on my computer. My computer's the hardware. What I'm doing on the computer, I'm using the software in the computer to do my job. And so many times I'm so frustrated with it because I feel like my interface with it is, it's not intuitive. And it should be intuitive at this stage of life and how much this world of technology has advanced. We're to the point where we're now talking to our computers. That's, again, software.
Sure.
But why is it that we have such frustration when we're using stuff that we have designed? We've gone to somebody like you or your company that designs software, and we've asked somebody to design us something that will make the experience user-friendly, right? And somehow it just never comes across that way. It just always is frustrating. And I find myself wanting to just punch my computer. I want to make sure that doesn't happen this time. So that's why I'm here with you right now, Sure. Is to have a better understanding of how I can not have that happen again.
Well, I think one of the first principles is we believe very much that simple is better. We also believe that if you're in using a piece of software, you should be able to get whatever you went in there to do done as quickly as possible. And the idea is then if I talk to you after and say, how long were you in there? And you say, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. Well, come to find out you got an hour's worth of work, but it feels like 15 minutes because that user interface, that human part of it was so intuitive and so easy to use that you enjoyed the experience, right?
Right.
I think the other thing is, as we look at the capabilities that we have, you know, we look at what you were doing on your phone, right? You're texting, you're having communication. But it's gotten to the point now where we have applications that make our life easier. They make us to be able to do what used to be very complex and difficult, things very simple, right? But again, you have to be really careful that if you have to tell somebody how to use a piece of software, we feel that you've missed the mark. Right. If there has to be an owner's manual, if there has to be technical support, then when we were designing that human interface, we made a mistake. I think the number one thing that we found is get something very simple, get it out to users, do some research, do user testing, get feedback from the actual people who are going to be using it, because it's amazing the things that they'll come back and tell you it should be doing or it needs to do differently or have it not do at all, that when we're sitting around a boardroom, we're really smart at what we want to design for people. We really prefer, let's ask the people who are going to be using it what they want and then build it to their needs.
It's interesting as I'm listening to you talk how ultimately your product, the final product, is a happy customer. Once they've said, yeah, that's it, and they give it to their, you know, their employees and they use it and they say, that's it. But man, it's not easy to always articulate. That's why having these kind of conversations is really helpful. I think that this is the kind of stuff that we look for. Now, that relationship is near and dear to my heart, something with a person like you and your company, because it's not always easy to find. It starts out that way, but then as time goes on, I don't know why. It's not as easy as I guess I had hoped it'd be as a business owner. I think that's one of the frustrations of entrepreneurs. We're good at what we do, but we're not always good at, you know, this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as much as software is all around us, and we become really accustomed to using certain applications, there's still as much art as there is science with it.
Right.
And I think it's really about developing trust and establishing a relationship where there's some give and take. You know, software isn't built the same way you build a building or a skyscraper. Everything isn't in a straight line. The beauty of some of the new agile methodologies in software development is you do some slight course corrections. And your goal really is to get ultimately the product that you need, not the product necessarily you came in the door wanting. So one of the things I tell our customers all the time, my job is not to get you what you ask for. My job is to take you through this process and work closely with you to get what you need and what your customers are going to be delighted by.
Which at the end of the day, you just described customer service. And so you are first customer service for your company.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a service-based organization that hasn't, you know, lost focus on the fact that if our customers are happy and they enjoy the experience, they're going to come back and have more opportunities for us to work together. And our goal is to really have every customer who walks in this door to be absolutely delighted and referenceable to other customers, because we're very much a company that relies on those referrals and the opportunity to help people who've enjoyed the experience.
Give me 2 minutes on artificial intelligence. Are you guys getting into that yet?
You know, artificial intelligence is pretty exciting, right? If you look at some of the digital assistants that have been out there for a while, right? We started kind of with Siri, and Amazon has their version, Microsoft has theirs as well. And so we're now getting to the point where there's this piece of the ability to have almost a conversation with AI that's more than, okay, it's easy to say, hey, you know, Siri, what's the weather like? But it's much more difficult to say, hey, I need you to pull up, you know, last year's sales reports and show me that month over month, you know, for this year. So AI is exciting. It's still pretty new. But it's about, you've got to have good data coming in order for the AI to make good recommendations, assumptions of what's going out. So as exciting as AI is, we're still kind of in the really early stages of making sure that the data that the AI can then crunch for us and give us the information back, it's still got to be, if it's bad data in, it's going to be bad data out. But it's exciting. And, you know, I think in the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to see a massive change to where applications that you never thought needed an AI or some type of digital assistant now become mainstream.
Well, I can tell you right here that I am going to have you guys help me with my next project, because I like the explanations you've given. AI is a little scary to me right now, but I think you're right. Junk in, junk out. So that's yet to be in my company even. That's way down the road. But small business is important, and we need to keep up with this technology-driven world. So Chad Atkinson, thank you very much for talking with us. The company is solutionstream.com. You can find it on the web. I'm just trying to understand all this my own self still, because it keeps growing and changing and has a life of its own sometimes. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure visiting with you.
Boy, one of those things I just don't know if I'll ever wrap my brain around. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
I want to hold them like they do.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Imagine if you could watch a video and click and buy. Well, a company called Cartiva, video commerce, interactive video shopping, now has the ability for you to do that. To talk more about it is Ryan Kell, K-A-R-T-I-V-A, Cartiva. And this is something that is brand new. And I've always wondered, like smell-o-vision, this is kind of buy a vision. You can watch and buy as it goes. It's a long time coming, but it's here.
Yeah, we've been working on this for a long time. With increasing bandwidth and with the availability of video all over the web, it's really time for people to be able to engage with video in a way that they haven't been up to this point. So we've been working on that for maybe about 2 years, and it's time to bring it to the masses.
So now, you showed it to me actually on Facebook, which I think, you know, my first thought was, brilliant. Second thought was, oh, Facebook will never let them do that. But I guess
you know, there's a business platform. They allow you to do certain things.
Yeah. So in addition to being available for your own websites, we have the ability to deploy this on a Facebook business page. You can turn your Facebook business page into shoppable video experiences. And we've been doing that for a little while now, and it's completely inside the platform. There's some great things that you can do and really engage with your customers.
I think for native marketing and for influencers, this is going to be just a coup, because now, instead of them having to talk so much about it, they can just say, and if you're interested in anything I'm wearing or anything I'm doing, click on the screen and it'll pop it over to the side. Maybe you can explain exactly how it works for the mind's eye.
Yeah. So we've all seen it with our, you know, shopping networks and things that we've seen on TV. Imagine that same experience, but with a buy button right there. So as you're watching it, the product shows up and you can say, oh, I'd like that. You click add to cart. You stay right in that video experience, so you don't get pulled away to some website where you got to dig around for it. You can just engage and keep watching, and by the time you're done, you've got all the things that you need to really build the experience that you're watching in the video format. So,
for entrepreneurs, this is going to be a game changer, especially those who want to work from home, that have products that they're, you know, sourcing, whether it be antique clothing or whatever it might be. It's going to be huge. But for the retailer, their website all of a sudden becomes a huge marketplace that things are much easier accessed and purchased right there on the spot.
Absolutely. And one of the big things that we're working toward is upsells and cross sells. You know, is right now it's built so, yeah, you can put a video on a web page, but most of the time you've just got one product that they can buy right there. But you might be showing them shirts and jeans and belts and shoes all in that same experience. Why not give them the opportunity to buy? And we wanted to really make it easier for the customer to say, I like all of these things, rather than just, oh, I'm going to add this one to my cart and dig around for the other things that might be here. We really wanted to make sure that that brands could move more product. And over the last while, as we've deployed this with our user base, they've seen anywhere between 50 and 100% increase in dollar value per customer. So, you know, you don't have to just drive more traffic to build your business. You can take the traffic that's coming and sell more product while they're there.
Right. I mean, a good example is I was just with Craftsman and they're launching 1,200 new tools and products. And maybe you click on a impact wrench for your shop, and then your product will then offer up other things like maybe new wrenches or extensions or, you know, sockets or whatever other things. This is absolutely brilliant. I just think it took this long to finally happen. It's amazing. I've heard of other things like this. How long have you been testing it?
So we built this out a little over 2 years ago, and we have deployed for tens of thousands of customers and really watched the way that they engaged with it and tooled it so that small businesses and large businesses, even any retailer, can capitalize on this. It's been a long work in progress, but, you know, we've built this to go from, you know, 2 customers to 2 million customers in 10 seconds, and anyone can use it all across the web, and really simple for them to both implement and for the customer to engage with.
All right, for the entrepreneurs that are listening, they're saying to themselves, well, what's it cost me?
So we've got a sliding scale that's anywhere from $29 a month up to $100 a month, depending upon how much you're using this on your site, but really affordable. I mean, it's not something where you've got to hire developers to implement this into your site. We've got plugins for WordPress and Shopify and Magento and OpenCart and others that are out there. So no matter what e-commerce platform you're working with, we can work with that platform. And all you've got to do is click a few buttons and you can engage with it at a price that makes sense.
Wow, this is really a game changer. I can only imagine what happens when it gets to the big shopping network companies and the you know, the big retailers and even the small entrepreneur that is just selling one item at a time. It's going to make it easier to sell. It's fantastic.
Thank you. We've been working hard, and we've got a great team here to make sure we deliver value for everyone in the from user all the way to customer.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Where can people find it?
So you can find us at Kartiva.io. That's Kartiva.io.
All right, Ryan Kell, Kartiva. It is the this is the next thing in monetizing your video. Fantastic. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.